Chief White House correspondent Kristen Welker joins me now.
From across the nation.
What is the number one issue for you?
To the national stage.
And I welcome you to the final 2020 presidential debate.
When critical votes were counted.
Still too close to call.
And when power was held to account.
Is abuse of power an impeachable offense?
Kristen Welker met the moment. Now she joins Meet the Press as its new moderator.
If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press.
Sundays on NBC.
State Farm is committed to being your top choice when insuring the things that matter to you. My Cultura podcast host, Dramos, also believes in the power of financial knowledge. That's why he makes sure to share his financial tips on his podcast, Life as a Gringo.
We all deserve to be living the life that we want to live, but how do we do it in a responsible way that we know we can afford it?
For me, if I have to buy it on a credit card, if I can't pay that card at the end of the month, I can't afford it.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at es.statefarm.com. State Farm is a proud partner of the My Cultura Podcast Network.
Following last year's amazing turnout, the Black Effect Podcast Network and Nissan are giving 50 HBCU STEAM scholars the opportunity to have an all-expenses-paid trip to Nissan's second Thrill of Possibility Summit. This is a remarkable opportunity to be mentored by auto, tech, and podcasting's brightest minds. NCANT's Marcus Scott Jr., who attended the first summit, had this to say, "A life-changing, impactful experience that I've never had in my life." Enter now to be a part of this incredible weekend. For more information, visit blackeffect.com/Nissan.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, the show where America is the star and the American people. Deon Joseph is a law enforcement consultant, author, and active senior lead officer in the downtown Los Angeles Skid Row community. He's here to share another story with us. Here's Deon.
The one thing that I was never able to really get a handle on, we were able to reduce crime 40%, reduce death 33%. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful achievements that we all engaged in. But the one thing we couldn't fix was mental illness. Mental illness will forever be the challenge of our lifetime, in my opinion. As a matter of fact, I think it's about the third or maybe a half of the homeless problem, if you're thinking about it realistically. We all know that in America, our solution to, quote unquote, helping the mentally ill was to close down the asylums. And then they sued, so nothing like it, even a better version of it, could ever come back. So now you kick people out into the streets in the name of civil liberties. Yeah, you're free. You sprinkle pills on them and tell them, bye. Okay, come check on me every 2 weeks. Come check in every 2 weeks. Never happened. Some of these individuals fell into the loving arms of family members, loved ones, you know, who tried to help them. Others, too many of the others, ended up in places like Skid Row. And when they came to Skid Row, they would throw away their prescribed medication because it made them feel down. It made them feel lethargic. And in Skid Row, you got to be ready for everything. So they throw that away or sell it to make enough money to buy the hard stuff, the crack, the meth, the marijuana, and all this other stuff. And being mentally ill is not a crime. I've stated this. Any police officer you talk to will tell you being paranoid, schizophrenic is not a crime. Being bipolar is not a crime. Being depressed is not a crime. But when those things meet heroin, crack, methamphetamines, fentanyl, spice, and yes, even marijuana, it can have disastrous consequences. And that's when they become a police problem. That's when no mental health professional is going to approach them when they're in an agitated state of delirium, slap boxing with city buses in their underwear and wearing red socks. You know, that's not going to happen. No matter what the rhetoric is today, they're going to call us first. Because what do you do when it's not just paranoia? What do you do when there's a chemical buffer between you and the crisis? And that was the issue. So there were so many mentally ill individuals who lost their lives in Skid Row. Some I ended up developing relationships with. One named Linda, her nickname was the Hurricane. She saw me as her little brother, and I was her protector. And, you know, I remember I discovered she wasn't homeless because her family would come from Pacoima and pick her up and try to clean her up. And one day my wife and I are driving to a party, and this big ugly van pulls up next to us, and she sticks her head out the window. Wig flies off, false teeth comes out, drool hits the window. Hey, RoboCop! Hey, big brother, it's me! Because my wife never believed my story, but she was a believer that day. And it was Linda. She had been picked up by her family, and they tried to love her back to health, but she would often escape because of her addiction. dual diagnosis, okay? Another friend of mine, he was from the LGBTQ community, and he was often bullied because he would wear Daisy Dukes. But I liked the guy. He was a cool cat. But of course, when he was a high, it was like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde effect. And I'll never forget, he was bullied by the gangsters in the park, and they bloodied his lip. And of course, he was too afraid to fight them. So he comes around the corner, and his crisis kicks in, and he wants to fight me. And I said, hey, it's me, Ricky, it's me. You don't want these kind of problems, okay? You don't want these hands, Rick, so calm down. And he would try to calm down, and then he walked away from me and tried to take his aggressions out on a pregnant woman. And I grabbed him before he could harm her, wrestled him to the ground, and handcuffed him. I thought, for sure, they're going to place this guy on a hold. For sure, it's going to be more than 72 hours. For sure, it's going to be about 2 weeks. Nope. He was out in about 6 hours, if I remember correctly. And a month later, he finally decided to stand up for himself when a parolee started attacking him because of the clothes he was wearing. And the parolee stabbed him in the heart. He was in a hospital for about 6 weeks before he finally passed away. And I always ask these questions to the public, you know, because they always want to blame us when things fall apart. Whose fault is it? Was it our fault, or was it the system? It was a system, because the way the system is set up, the law enforcement is always going to be the tip of the spear until we actually change the mental health system and bring some common sense mechanisms back in place. Like, for instance, instead of 3 days, 72 hours, it should be 6 weeks. And the reason why is it takes about 4 to 6 weeks for most of their medication for them to even benefit from the therapeutic attributes of their medication. That's common sense. So don't release them until that 6 weeks is up, so they'll be in a habit of taking their medication. Also, during that 6 weeks, you know you have to clean them up before you can help them, because a lot of them do what's called cleaning up. They'll go to the hospital, and 6 hours later, they'll say, hey, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm fine. Why are they saying that? Because they want to go out there and scratch their chemical itch, right? Instead, get them clean first. Once you got them clean, develop a rapport with them and find out who their family members and loved ones are, and see if we can get them connected. And let's streamline the process of conservatorships so that we can get their family members to help them and just help them, guide them a little better. And even if that doesn't happen, they'll be in a habit of taking their medication and they won't fall off the wagon as long. But until that happens, we're going to continue to see the countless tragedies that I've seen every day. It's near and dear to my heart because I have a niece who's mentally ill. I have a nephew who's touched with a little mental illness. I watched foster kids who were really struggling with it. And I even mentor young men on the spectrum of autism, I think about once or twice a year when I can. And it's near and dear to my heart. And I just wish somebody would listen to this street cop. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not political. I just want to tell you the truth from a boots on the ground perspective. I'm not looking at it from 30,000 feet. I'm not some college professor who's overly idealistic, who only sees one way. You know, I just want to tell you the truth of what's happening in the street.
And a terrific job on the editing, producing, and story editing by our own Greg Hengler. And a special thanks to Dion Joseph for sharing his story. And we all know the problems of mental health, and it is indeed one third to one half of the homeless problem in this country is mental illness, and we don't have answers. And if in any way our stories can lead to those answers, well, then we have helped do something good for all of us, for all of our families, and for those most harmed. And that's the mentally ill who aren't properly treated and end up on the streets. Dion Joseph's story, and in so many ways, the story of cops across this country who deal with the things that we don't want to deal with here on Our American Stories. Lee Habib here, the host of Our American Stories. Every day on this show, we're bringing inspiring stories from across this great country. Stories from our big cities and small towns. But we truly can't do this show without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love what you hear, go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little, give a lot. Go to OurAmericanStories.com and give.
Introducing Uber Teen Accounts. If you have a teenager, you probably drive them around a lot. Maybe you're even driving them right now.
New Uber Teen accounts are a parent-supervised Uber account with always-on safety features that let your teen request a ride when you can't take them yourself. Your teen gets to ride with a highly rated driver, and you get to follow along with real-time notifications and live trip tracking in your Uber app. Add your teen to your Uber account today. Available in select locations. See app for details.
Hey, this is Lance Bass from Frosted Tips. So my husband Michael and I just took an amazing road trip to the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. And thanks to Hyundai, we were able to record a special episode just for you guys along the way. We're so excited to take you on this journey with us. You're not going to want to miss this one, right, babe?
No, you won't.
Here's a quick preview. You can listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
I loved being on the tour bus. I don't sleep better than when I'm on a bus. But I also had to share a bus with Joey Fatone. But the good thing is eventually when we made it,
yeah,
we had a bus that had a shower on it.
This episode is brought to you by the all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6.
Hey, hey, it's Malcolm Gladwell, host of Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Your elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive entirely its own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.